Welcome, Ravens. I am your host, Morgan Raven, and you're listening to Raven's Ramblings. This is episode 7, I think, and we're calling it Weight Gains. Now, as we did on my last podcast, I have decided yet again that we're going to have some people on the podcast, and today we are cordially inviting the wonderful Sophie from Scarlet in Chains to have a chat with us about her new fantastic felt looking body. Now, I know that I am a plus size girl and I do talk heavily about plus size on this channel. What I want to talk about is you've gone from being plus size through a medical condition and change of tablets and things like that. So trigger warning, there may be some conversations about tablets and medication. There may be some conversations about weight loss, weight gain. We'll try not to go into too much graphic detail because we know she can go there, but we'll try not to. But you've kind of gone on this journey through a medical situation and you have now lost an awful lot of weight. I think you're, what, 5 stone down now?
Yeah, 5 stone so far.
And kind of really want to just see whether the fashion industry in the alternative markets, whether it's helped you by losing any weight. So how has this all come about and kind of over what time period?
It started really, I think, January 2020, I have a skin condition known as HS for short, which basically means my skin likes to create some lovely big and painful cysts, mostly for me on my legs. And it started things off there. Of where when I first had the first one, I think it was New Year's Day 2020, where I had to go to the doctors with one because it was that big. I was struggling to walk properly. And the doctor at the time sort of said, okay, if it doesn't pop within 2 days on its own, go to A&E, get it drained, and we want to run some tests. Then our good friend Art Felicity showed up, and that was not a priority to my doctors or to me. It was a case of, like the rest of the world, hunker down and wait for everything to blow over. And then it was the September of 2020, I broke out in 23 of those cysts.
Lovely.
At once.
Nice. I did warn you guys, you can get a bit graphic. So if you don't know what a cyst is, you don't ever want one. That's all I'm going to tell you.
So this time I had a doctor that was a lot more sort of interested, and she diagnosed me with HS straight away, and she ran a full blood panel to try and work out what was going on and what was causing them. And they found a lot of abnormalities in the blood panel, so then ran a hormone blood panel, which also came back as abnormal. And just the too long didn't read version, I've got an as of yet undiagnosed hormone issue that they think happened when I was about a teenager. So it had been about when I started my cycle, something broke, and basically my body gained, I'd say, about a pound a month looking at my medical records and my weight. So keeping up the same level of exercise and diet, I'd gain a pound a month like clockwork for no good reason. And I went through all the rigmarole we've all been told by the doctors, oh, you must be sneaking in extra calories, or you might not be moving as much as you think. I had years and years and years of that. And it took a full abnormal blood panel for anybody to actually listen to me or pay any sort of attention at all. And I was given a medication known as metformin, which is normally for polycystic ovaries, because they were convinced that's what I had. And the metformin did something none of us expected to do. I had some horrific side effects on it, and it was suggested to me that if I cut out a lot of carbohydrate from my diet, that it would lessen the side effects of the metformin a bit. So I tried that, and for the first time in my life, weight actually started coming off me. And after a few months of this, I actually had energy. I'd wake up in the mornings actually feeling like I had energy to do something, whereas beforehand, eating would put me to sleep. I could sleep plenty of hours in a night and wake up feeling like I'd never even rested at all. And this was just a complete game changer for me. So from there, I did sort of a, I'd call it low, I'd sort of call it more low carb than keto. So I followed low carb, kept sort of gently keeping up with a bit of HIIT exercise every day. And eventually I got down 5 stone.
And over what period was that?
That was from the, I think the November 2020 to now.
So a year.
So just about a year. And so far I've come down 5 stone. They still don't know what's caused anything, but I've had problems with my weight for as long as I can remember.
And to be fair, that's quite a feat. I mean, I've been a big girl most of my life. And when I left school, I went on a massive health kick down the gym, like 3 or 4 times a day and all that. And it took me 2 years to lose 6 stone. So to lose 5 stone in a year, that's quite a lot off.
It really is. I mean, I did it safely. Obviously, I kept to 3 meals a day, and the NHS were very good. They put me on a program called Olivia, where for 3 months I had access once a week to a nutritionist who would have a look at what I was eating and check I was losing weight safely, that I wasn't over-exercising, and that I was doing things the right way. So on average, I lost about £2 a week, which is sort of the most they'd like you to lose.
Yeah.
But the fascinating thing was, for me, there seems to be some sort of link with sugar and carbohydrates and my weight. If I avoid those two, my body behaves normally. But as soon as I reintroduce carbohydrate or sugar, I go right back to being tired, and it almost feels like my body shuts down a bit.
And most people will look at that and go, well, that's kind of obvious, because carbs are sugar in a way,
yeah,
and sugars are fattening. So yeah, that's kind of standard. But you were just eating normally and still gaining weight.
I would have literally a tuna sandwich would put me to sleep. A tuna sandwich on 2 slices
of bread. Was that because it was boring, or?
Well,
you know.
But literally, I'd have something like a sandwich and I'd have to have a nap after, because literally my body just couldn't cope with digesting it, so I had to sleep it off. And for years that was going on, and they just weren't interested. You know what I mean? And when you sort of look online, you don't really get very far with sort of research. But there's something up with my body and how it digests certain foods, and they haven't got to the bottom of it, and I don't expect we will anytime soon, because there's much bigger priorities out there.
But it has put you in a good thing with your weight, and obviously your
absolutely
health. We can only congratulate on your weight loss, because you do look fantastic.
Thank you.
But obviously, keeping in line with this channel and what we've been talking about previously, do you feel, I'm going to go back to my podcast that I did with Miss Jigglepuff, do you feel more body positive now, or have you always been kind of not bothered about your weight or bothered about your body? How do you feel about it?
I'd say I'm the same amount of body positive now, but in a different way.
Okay.
Because I grew up in an era where super skinny was very much worshipped, and I've been a goth since I was 11, so I've always sort of gone counterculture and tried to sort of love myself for who I am.
And I have to remember, you're that bit younger than me. So you grew up in the, where everything size zero was very much in the forefront, when all the things like America's Next Top Model, or you're a size 2, you're too fat.
Yeah.
You're size 4, you're plus size. And all that thing, it was very much the, what's her name, Posh Spice.
Yeah.
You have to be this skinny to be normal. So that must have had an effect on you as well when you're gaining weight.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, I went to a very, very religious school that hadn't long been accepting girls. So there was only 4 of us, and I was the only big one, both sort of tall and just bigger in general. So I developed a very, very, we won't go into it, but I developed a very unhealthy relationship with food, which let me be thin through my teenage years. And then when I went to college, I just couldn't deal with being starving all the time, because obviously of how my body worked, nobody really knew about low carbohydrates or food intolerances back in the early noughties. It's a case of you were either a picky eater or you'd eat anything.
Or you were allergic to peanuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was about the most sort of, you know, I mean, we didn't talk about carbs or wheat intolerances.
Or dairy intolerance or anything like that. You were
It was, you'd eat what you were given and you'd be happy with it. So I had to do some very dodgy stuff to myself in my teenage years to stay thin, because even as a goth in alternative culture, the clothing was aimed at small people. You only ever really saw thin goths back then. If you were a bigger goth, your choices were a big baggy metal hoodie or a big baggy metal hoodie.
Or big baggy, the big baggy trousers yeah. that they used to get. You were even, like, yes, my thighs finally fit in something.
But even those, the waists often were that generous on them.
No, they weren't. Not at all.
So I starved myself through my teenage years, and then I just sort of, I gave in around my late teens, and I was like, I can't deal with being starving all the time. Ate normally like everybody else. Weight started creeping back up again, and even when I tried some of my more unhealthy practices again, it didn't come off again. I couldn't get weight off at all.
So this time round, obviously, you're a bit older.
Yeah.
We're ladies. We don't discuss age. So how are you feeling now about the alternative fashion? Because you must have had to have completely changed your wardrobe.
Yes. That's the fascinating thing. I've got some items that still fit beautifully, even 5 stone down, and a few things that I brought early on that I'd lost the first couple of stone after another half a stone were way too big.
And do you feel like the weight's come off proportionately, or has it gone from one area more than others? Because I know when I've lost weight, it's been like, it's fine, I'll keep my boobs, I just need to lose it from my belly and my butt, and then it's gone from anywhere but.
It literally, and this is going to sound really strange, it didn't feel like anything was sort of happening for ages. I know the number on the scales is going down. For about the first 2 stone, I didn't really notice much difference. It was only sort of really one of the days when I was exercising, I was like, oh, what's that? Oh, it's a hip bone. Haven't felt that in a while. And it was just sort of like, it's almost like some days I'd like look at myself and go, oh, that's quite different. But I think because it happened sort of so gradually, I didn't really notice until sort of either clothes were too big for me, or I'd sort of, I'd be in the shower and sort of clean myself, go, oh, that feels a bit different. Oh, that's why.
Yeah, I suppose when you're looking at yourself every day in the mirror, I mean, like I said, when I lost 6 stone, I could only see it occasionally in photographs. Yeah. And I think there's one photograph I've got that I stopped, I put it up on social media and I took it down because I looked at it and went, I look like Skeletor. Mm. But I was still a size 18 at that time. It's just that I lost all the weight in my face.
Yeah.
So my cheekbones were really pronounced. My cheeks underneath went hollow. And it was like, how can I be a size 18 and look like my face is that of an anorexic size, -2? It was really that bad.
But this is the ridiculous thing, though, about society standards. Like, I now, in most places, happily fit into a size 12. And I'm about 5'7". So size 12, 5'7". I'd say sort of is relatively, I hate to use the word normal, but it's average.
It's average,
However, my doctors would still like me to take off another 2 stone on top, which I find that a strange one, considering the UK average is a size 16.
It's gone up now, it's now an 18.
Well, I was going to say I'm out of date on that one then.
Yeah.
But it's like, but considering the UK average is now an 18, I think it's a bit messed up that when somebody's gone down to a size 12, you're still pushing them to go further just because the number on your computer
And that's the thing. The problem is when you're looking at a medical profession.
Yeah.
And you go back to some of my podcasts where I talk about ignoring the numbers and forget the sizing on clothes.
Absolutely.
Just by what fits. When you're talking about doctors, they're going, yes, but your weight has to be this.
Yeah.
Now, again, going back to when I lost weight, I was told by my doctors I was exceptionally healthy.
Mm.
I was in a good range for my body weight. I was in a good range for my height. And someone took a picture of me in a backless dress and I could see every bone in my spine and went, I look hideous.
Mm.
Because my frame is not built to be a UK size 10. So I had to gain weight to go back to a 14, 16 for my own personal mental health to feel that I looked normal. Because if I was lower than that, you could literally see my bones, which meant if you took a picture, someone would look at me and go, that person's suffering with anorexia or some form of eating disorder or a condition that's made them lose that much weight. When actually, I was probably at my medical healthiest. Yeah.
But that's where I think the body positivity comes into it, because I feel quite happy where I am now at 12. And though I will try for my health reasons to try and hit the goal they'd like me to, I'd say from a body positivity point of view, I feel in a very good place where my body is now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very lucky that I've always sort of, I've liked myself at every size. I've always found something I like about myself, because having gone through unhealthy relationships with my body and food as a teenager, I've always tried, no matter how unhappy I'm feeling with my body, to go, but this is good about it.
Yeah.
And there's one good thing here. So I'd say confidence-wise, I still don't think I'm used to myself yet. I'm still sort of getting used to the weight and the shape I am now. I'm still sort of learning about myself. I think for me, my confidence has come more from the health side.
Okay.
That I now know I can go out of a meal with friends and not worry about the fact I'm going to fall asleep in the car a few minutes later.
So picking up on that, you are like, if we're going to go with this average, normal, hate the terms, but an average UK size 12. Are you finding, obviously still with Auntie Felicity being around, going out and shopping isn't necessarily what we want to do. But if you were to go to somewhere like Punkrave, Killstar, and buy something that would fit you. So I know Punkrave sizing can be small. Killstar can be a bit iffy depending on the outfit. But if you were to go to either of those brands or someone else, like Band or anything like that, do you feel that their clothing would actually still fit you? Or would you have issues with it still?
I think I'm sure it would fit me. My biggest pet hate is when things don't have proper sizes. When they're just this like small, medium, large, XL, with no reference to what that means. Even if it's just like a vague small equals a UK 8. That'll do. That's at least close enough. But a lot of alternative websites now, places like Kate's Clothing are really good because they've got their own size chart where they'll label things, even if it doesn't agree with the brand sizing, you'll know, you can look at their size chart, and if they say it's a 14, it's a 14, according to their chart. So places like that are great. I still like to go off measurements where I can, because one company's idea of a 12 is very different to another's.
And it's right across the board as well, because I mean, I was looking at, I hate the company, but I was looking at something because someone had picked up a dress and I really liked it. And they went, oh, it's from Shein.
Yeah.
Now, although I don't like them, I thought I'm going to be interested to see, because that person's roughly my size looking at them. It'd be interesting to see what their measurements are.
Yeah.
And I looked at two of their dresses and they're meant to be more standardizing in their sizing, because they do from a, what is it, a double X S to a 6XL, and they're trying to say that they standardize their sizing across the board. But I looked at two dresses that were in a 4XL and they were like, one was an 18 and one was a 24, and I'm like, how can you just pick that? And they go, well, it's the cut of the dress. And I look at Killstar and I look at, okay, for me a 4XL normally fits me, but I've got dresses that are 2XL and still fit. And then the only reason that's different is the fact that it might be the size of the armholes.
Oh, don't start me on arms.
Are you still finding that problem? Because that's a really interesting one to bring up.
This is a fascinating one. There was like a cardigan I brought a while ago from, I think it was Restyle, where I brought it in the biggest size they did, because I wanted it to just be like a real sort of wrap round.
Is that the open waterfall hooded one with the sigils down the front?
I have
the same one.
I was going to say, I brought that back in 2017, I think. And fits fine in the body, hood's lovely. The arms, Drew couldn't get his arms in. And Drew's the equivalent of a UK 10. Drew couldn't get his arms in.
I have the same one, and I've got the same problem. And the other thing I found with it was where they'd done the seams on the back, they were so far back that you couldn't get your hands in the pockets.
No. And don't start me on the stupid tie round thing. They gave that really thin little piece of elastic I had to cut off because Sabre was chasing it round.
And for those of you who don't know, Sabre is the cat, the lord of the manor, lady of the manor, and general demon. But we love her. So you might hear her later if she decides to get involved with the podcast.
But I'd say arms are still one of my biggest issues, because winter coats, I've often found I need to go up a size for arms. And it's not even really size of arms now, because I mean, I work out a bit, but I don't have particularly large arms now for a woman. I've got a bit of loose skin, as you'd expect after 5 stone, but I can try on a size 12 jacket. It'll fit fine in the body, fine over the bust. Yet the arms, if I want to drive in that coat, I couldn't.
And where do you find that? Because I find with, I do have big arms. And quite strangely, the other day, I've got a faux leather jacket that I picked up from Misguided. Mm. And it was an oversized one, so I knew the arms holes were going to be quite big. Mm. And when I bought it, it was probably autumn 2019. And it fitted, but it was still a bit tight. Now, I fully believe I've gained weight while Auntie Felicity's been round and feeding me biscuits. But I put it on the other day, and it actually fits me better now than it did before. Mm. So if someone could explain to me how the reverse gremlins are working in clothes at the moment, that would be really good. But
arms, I'd say, are a big
I find
there.
It's cutting across the middle of my arm. Like, there's not enough.
And the elbow as well. So the elbow and the shoulder, I often find. There's normally the shoulder seam. Like, if I'm... Fortunately, I've got an automatic. Back when I used to drive a manual, I always used to find you'd really be feeling the seam at the top of your shoulder when you were trying to change gears.
See, I find it cuts in underneath them. Mm. So on the armpit. And then if you go about 3 or 4 inches down... it's almost as if it cuts right around the middle of your upper arm. So I don't quite know where they're going with things. Because if you look at it, it's straight, so it should still fit. But what other issues are you finding with clothes? Because I would have thought if you dropped 5 stone, then you should be able to go in and pretty much pick up anything off the rack. Because all my podcasts I've gone, I've used an average UK 12 as my kind of go-to point. So... technically, you should be able to go into Primark and buy a size 12 and it would fit. But from what you're saying, it sounds like it probably still wouldn't. And this is my whole issue.
I've got to be honest, I take a tape measure out with me now. For places like Primark and that, I actually do, as embarrassing as this sounds for anybody unfortunately to be shopping me, I actually take my tape measure and I will actually measure waistbands on stuff.
Nothing is embarrassing as your mother standing in Little Woods trying on your first bra over your dress. So, you know, it's fine. Tape measures are all good.
But I find that actually really helps because they can hold something against you in the mirror because not everybody wants to deal with the Primark change rooms, especially during Aunt Felicity's visit. You don't really want to be dealing with trying stuff on. But I'd say sizing. Primark, if it's stretchy, you're fine. And most places, if it's got a bit of stretch to it, you're fine, so you know it'll sort of, if it's a little bit big, it'll shrink in, or if it's a little bit small, it'll stretch out. But I've not tried the nightmare-inducing shopping for jeans yet, because I don't wear them, and I feel for anybody that does, because that one, I'm going to be not touching that with a barge pole. But for skirts and dresses and things like that, I found just taking a tape measure with me. But most of the time, either somewhere between 10 to 14... because some places I can go down to a 10, some places I have to go up to a 14.
And that goes back to what I mentioned previously as well in another podcast about there not being a standard size. And that's why I go back to Coley Burton's video of these are the top 10 high street brands. I bought a size 12 in a straight leg jean and they're all different.
Yeah.
So that kind of taking a tape measure thing is sensible.
Because alternative brands, I think, are actually even worse than high street brands for sizing.
They are, because most of them are based on Asian sizes, which are set 3 sizes smaller than ours, and people don't realise.
But even the ones that aren't, like companies that are either based in America or Australia or the UK. I mean, I came across a ridiculous one the other day with a smaller designer who claimed to make all her leggings from scratch. Yeah. The telltale signs in the description are just going, please read our size chart as it's different to everybody else. Like, okay, totted onto the size chart, triple XL, 27-inch waist.
And I was like, Asian sizing.
And I was like, okay, if you're hand-making leggings in the UK, no way in hell is that your custom-made for you size chart, because you wouldn't do it. If you're catering to the UK market and custom-making in the UK, as they claimed, you would go by a standard UK size chart to stop people ordering the wrong size constantly and complaining about it.
And with the alternative market, because they use a lot of Asian charts and a lot of it is based on the Japanese, an actual Japanese large is the same as a UK extra small, because they are generally in their genetics a lot smaller than we are and a lot more straight in their body. So you don't necessarily see curvy Japanese girls, you see quite androgynous Japanese girls. So when they're buying skirts, they don't have the hip bows in them. But what about length? This is on the, and let's not go down the wrong road there, guys. You know what I mean? But are you finding, certainly like with brands like Killstar, I find that their dresses are either just about reasonable with a thick pair of tights, or they are completely ridiculous and I have to wear them as a top with a long skirt or leggings. As you've gone down the sizes, how have you found brands like that with regards to their skirt lengths?
One of the really hilarious things I found, and nobody warns you about this when you lose weight, is a lot of my maxi dresses, I assumed, would still sort of fit. And a lot of them did, even going down the size chart. However, no one warns you that they sneak, just like if your jacket suddenly fitting in the arms, they sneakily add about 2 or 3 inches to all your dresses. You're suddenly thinking, this used to be the right length on me, and now it's about 3 inches too
long.
That's
because your bum's not taking up extra fabric anymore.
But no one warns you about that. But no, lengthwise, Killstar, I find, comes in 2 flavours. Either incredibly short or incredibly long.
Yeah.
The maxi dresses drag the floor. A lot of the short dresses, if you're lucky, cover your bum cheeks. Yeah, I mean, cycling shorts forever, let's be honest. But the interesting thing is, some of the things like their, well, they call them oversized t-shirts, but to me, they're dress length. You just buy them a couple of sizes smaller. They're actually some of the only decent length dresses I've had from Killstar, and they weren't supposed to be dresses. They were supposed to be tops. Someone explain the logic of that to me.
I don't know, but I have found I've bought 2 of the longer maxi skirts. So I've got, I can't remember what they're called, so please don't ask me, but I've got the one that had splits at the front with the hooks and eyes that they then did with zips.
Oh yes,
and I have the one that's got the 2 big thigh cutouts with the faux leather belt.
I've wanted that, but supposedly they are stupidly long.
They're ridiculously long. I've got literally I wore the one with the hooks and eyes for a photo shoot. It was literally pulled up under my boobs, whereas the girl in the picture was wearing it to her hips. I had on heeled New Rocks, so I was wearing a 3.5 to 4 inch heel, and it was still dragging on the floor by about 7 or 8 inches of fabric.
And so you're the same height. You're the same height as
We're both 5'7". Yeah.
Which you'd think I'm 5'7", if it was going to be a bit long for you, that maybe it would be like 2 or 3 inches at the most.
And I understand a train, and I understand that most goth girls wear platforms. I wore platform boots, and it was too long.
At a concert or a gothic club? I know people are always like, oh, that'll look really dramatic and wonderful. It's like, have you seen the floors in most of these places?
And how many people are going to tread on it?
And also, I've lost many a good pair of platforms to a sticky club floor. Do I want to be scrubbing it off the bottom of my skirt? Hell no.
No. And the stupid thing is as well, the one with the hooks and eyes, it's a thin jersey fabric, which is fine.
Oh, is that a rip as
well? But you can't adapt it. So I stood on a table and said, look, fold it up and pin it.
Yeah.
And then I'll just cut it and sew it. You can't, because it's actually cut on a curved bias on the fabric.
I had a maxi dress like that, actually, and what I did in the end was the jersey doesn't fray, fortunately, so I just actually, even though it was cut on a curved bias, I actually just cut it straight, and because it curls slightly at the bottom, you don't notice it. That's how I fixed one of
I don't know that one would curl, though, because it is actually quite a thin fabric.
The thin fabric does. As soon as it stretches, it, like, rolls over. It's better when you customise band T-shirts, but I shouldn't have to.
The one with the split sides, I've noticed, I put it on a hanger and I measured it, and the back piece is 4 inches longer than the front. And I don't know why they would do that, because if you think, in the UK, 5'7", 5'8" is quite... I mean, I keep telling my other half, I keep telling the Griffin I'm short, and he goes, you're not. No. You're not short at all. You're quite on the taller end.
Because I think average female height in the UK, is it 5'5"?
Something like
that. It's not that
tall.
But
then who would want a skirt that long?
Because this is the thing, though. Even the gorgeous Sarah, that's one of our models, she's I think, 6 foot. And it's even long on her, because she has to wear quite long platforms with it.
And she's got bigger platforms than I've got.
So I think she has to still wear 4 or 5 inch platforms to stop it dragging on the floor with her as well.
And if you're that tall and you're still having to wear platform boots.
Because it looked fabulous. Like, she was actually quite happy with the extra length, because she doesn't normally get that option being that tall. But I was thinking, surely this is the point where, as places like Killstar are clearly trying to be the alternative boohoo, because I know they're still marketing themselves as a cult luxury, but we all kind of know the truth now that they are now becoming sort of fast fashion, but with a high price tag.
I have heard that their quality has improved. I don't know. I haven't bought from them in, I don't know how long, over a year now. So
I'm a sale shopper with Killstar. So I think the most recent, the most recent thing I brought one of the tops from the Wasteland Witch collection for the post-apocalyptic event we did. That was good quality, but that's that mesh ripped fabric that you can't really go that wrong with because it's all quite standard. But their quality, I don't know why they haven't worked out that maybe it's time for a tall and a petite range for things like the skirts.
Yeah, because their skirts are ridiculously long or stupidly short. Yeah. Their mini skirts
There's no sort of in between. I think you've probably got to be 5'5 and below for a lot of their skirts to be the right length.
And maybe they need to change the styles as well, because I see a lot of their kind of the pleated school skirt style thing that's really, really short. They do a pencil skirt with a high waistband or a normal waistband, and then they do this maxi skirt with the split. They don't seem to have anything kind of...
They've got
more
their...
Victorian based, or they have got a nice small though moment. I know that's got like the velvet and then it's got a lace insert, but it's tight and there's no stretch to it. If you actually look at the description, that is a non-moving velvet skirt. That wouldn't fit me.
I mean, I've not worn it properly yet because it's gone away for y'all, but I had one of their newer maxi skirts. I think I had the Untamed one that's got a bathlet on.
Oh yeah.
Those fit really nicely. But I would say anybody shorter than myself would have issues with having to pull it up under the boob skin because it's got the hanky hem, and some parts of the hanky hem are so long, you'd be wicking at water and treading on them.
And does it make you wonder how much on the photographs that they take? Because if I just go back to that one that's got the split hips and then the faux belt that goes around it, I think it had a matching corset belt as well that went with it. That one actually on the model barely touches the floor.
Well,
now she's got platform boots on, but they're not that high. They're actually Killstar platform boots, which are only 2.5 inches on the platform.
I do have...
I had New Rock 3.5 inch platform boots on, and it dragged on the floor. So how much are they doctoring their images?
I don't think they're doctoring the images, actually. I mean, obviously, in my past life, I did a lot of photo retouching and things like that. Though, obviously, they'll do the standard doctoring everywhere does, like airbrushing away.
Straightening arms.
Yeah. That, well, that's a story for another day. But no, I've noticed there are certain Killstar items where either the material doesn't match or, for example, the tunic dresses I love.
Yeah.
There was one I brought last year where the picture on the model showed a zip down the back, not the lace panel it has. So I wonder... if the images aren't doctored, if those are sample items that are sent to them to do photo shoots with, and the real items haven't arrived yet. So I wonder if some of the things we see
are
samples.
And that could be the case, because they're certainly doing a lot more on pre-order these days.
If you look through, there is a few items where the final product either has improved a bit, or they've actually got rid of a really good feature. So the one of the dresses I had last year came with a zip in it, yet there's no zip present on the picture on the model. So I wonder if we're actually seeing samples, which would make sense, because I don't know how far Killstar shoot in advance. I mean, they do a drop every week now, so whereas a few years ago there'd only be a drop every couple of months, I wonder if possibly we're seeing samples.
And maybe that's the case across the board. And I'm really sorry, guys, it seems to have gone down a bit of a Killstar rabbit hole. But okay, so we discussed fit. We'll try and get back on track. We discussed fit, we discussed armholes. Are you finding that with the weight loss and are you finding other styles are now more available to you? Have you kind of kept the same style, or are you trying to branch out into new things?
I'm doing a bit of both, just to be awkward.
Of course. Why would you be anything else?
Beforehand, I really liked my sort of A-line, layered sort of witchy looks, but I was finding a lot of those weren't as flattering on me now, so I'm branching out a little bit more into slightly more bodycon, still working on the confidence with those, because The problem I've got now is because I've got sort of loose skin and everything, you sort of look at every sort of lump and bump on yourself now, which you shouldn't do. And I've got to get over myself now, but I think I'm still sort of getting used to it. But I'm wearing a bit more bodycon stuff now. And I've noticed that sort of a lot of my sort of more drapey and flared stuff isn't suiting me as well as it did. So I'm still at the moment, I think, working out sort of what I want to do long-term style-wise. It'll obviously still be goth. That ain't changing, and that's never bloody changing.
As long as it comes in black, it's good.
Absolutely. But no, I think sort of I've moved away sort of slightly from the more A-line stuff because it's not as flattering as often. My boobs will sort of stick out and it'll just hang.
Yeah.
And that doesn't...
See, I thought it hangs off my belly.
It doesn't.
That's where your belt's coming handy.
But no, I think I've sort of moved away sort of some of the A-line stuff. And at the moment, I'm sort of experimenting a bit more with some different styles. Like I've done some bodycon stuff. Done an awful lot sort of with, I've been doing a lot of like custom t-shirts and things like that, because obviously with replacing your whole wardrobe there's quite a lot of monetary strain, so I've been trying to get a little bit creative with getting the last few wears out of some things that have got too big for me. Like I've been doing a lot of cut-up t-shirts with leggings for just sort of chilling around the house in. But no, I'm looking forward to trying lots of different styles, but I'm still sort of working out what suits me at the moment. I mean, I'm really lucky because Drew's got a much better eye for it than I do.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time I'm sort of looking at stuff and he's having to go to me, that would have worked, but have a look at sort of something that's maybe going to be a bit more flattering. So I need stuff now that goes in at the waist, otherwise it just hangs on me.
Yeah. So just one thing you said there that I want to touch up on, because obviously we've mentioned body positivity, you losing weight and then saying, you know, wearing tighter things, you're still gaining confidence.
Yeah.
I know kind of where you're coming from that, because I feel body positivity and confidence in what you're wearing, much as they should go in hand in hand, they are two very separate things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm quite happy in my body, although I'm plus size, and, you know, the medical profession will say they hate me, but I'm quite happy to be at home in shorts, no bra, T-shirt, sometimes not even a T-shirt, and wander around the house. Because I'm comfortable in doing that, and I'm not worried about being, you know, naked or semi-naked in front of my partner. However, having worn a dress to work quite recently that I bought two and a half years ago, long-sleeved shift dress, jersey material, kind of clings a bit to everything. I actually feel more confident in it now than I probably did the first time I wore it. And yet I'm sure I'm bigger now than I was, but for some reason, it looks better.
I think part of it as well is maybe confidence-wise, your confidence has grown massively in the last couple of years, though.
Yeah, I don't know where that's come from. Absolutely.
But the thing is, you're sure in yourself. I think with me, because I'm still getting used to my new body and my new body shapes, it's still sort of constantly changing. And
it's happened so quickly.
Not just that, because they still haven't sorted my hormones out, I sometimes can get sort of more alien thoughts based on which hormones are firing.
Yeah.
So if I'm sort of having a more estrogen heavy day, I could be being a bit more emotional about what I'm wearing when actually it looks fine, but my brain's telling me otherwise because of the joys of constant hormonal imbalance.
That's just being a woman. So,
because I've not had that so many years because my hormones were pretty much non-existent for a long time before they started me on this medication, I'm sort of having the fun of that on top. But I would say the more you do it, the more confident you get. So the more I get used to looking at myself in certain styles, the more I know how to stand, how to position myself, and I think that has a lot to do with confidence, is getting used to doing something.
I mean I know that someone actually said to me quite recently that they could see a lot more confidence in my photographs on Instagram. And it's about how I'm standing or positioning the camera to maybe not show. I mean, I know my stomach sticks out. I know that if I stand sideways, I'm going to look terrible. But I can make myself look like I've got an hourglass figure if I position the camera at just the right angle, slightly downwards. So, yeah, there is that whole, and that, like I said, that's another podcast in itself. But
that's,
you'll even
part
see
of life with what we both do, though. I mean,
but you'll see even skinny girls do on Instagram. They'll go, look, it's all about angles. Yeah. I can stand here and look like a size zero in a bikini.
Yeah.
but if I turn around this way, actually I'm a size 14 mm-hmm. in a bikini. And it's all about that kind of getting to know your body yep. from the different angles. My pet peeve, regardless of how good I feel in an outfit, and it's something that I try not to do, but if I'm going out for the night and I'm looking square into a mirror and I look at myself and go, I look fab. If I walk past a shop window, I will not look at my reflection, because I know from side on, my stomach sticks out, my bum sticks out, and I look a little bit like a beach ball some days. So I don't look. So in my head, I can keep that confidence yeah. of actually, that's how I look. Mm. People coming towards me, that's what they're yeah. seeing, that's how I look. And that certainly helped me. I think the fact that Auntie Felicity's visit has stopped me going out, the fact that I've not been buying clothes has stopped me going shopping yeah. and going into areas where I'm seeing my reflection more. I think that has really helped me. But what about your weight loss has made you feel really empowered about the way you dress now?
I think one of the main things with me is, like you were saying about having to sort of pose pictures. In the industry I'm in, we get a lot of candid shots of us, like as store holders, and obviously some of the events there's no cameras at all yeah. because of the nature of them. But with a lot of the old fashioned ones, one of the things I always used to hate was I'd get candid pictures from a really unflattering angle and be like, oh my God, that's what I look like today. Okay. And now it's quite nice if I get caught in photos, even if it's not a flattering angle, I don't feel quite as bad about it. I'm not having to sort of feel quite as I need to be posing or yeah. I mean, positioning my body in such a way, which is exactly what you were saying. Yeah, I mean, when you're in control of photos and that, it's fine. But when you caught it to me as candid shots, I was like, oh no. Oh.
If only we could take control of the fashion industry the yeah. way we could take control of our own pictures on social media.
But I'd say I just in general feel, I think, more confident because I'm healthier, because I was fighting so many unseen health issues before.
Yeah.
Not even from my weight, just from the various sort of hormonal problems. So I think partly I feel more empowered because I feel stronger and more lively. And I think the other part is I feel like me again.
Yeah.
Because sort of with how sort of weight went on with me, I didn't really have any control over it. It just sort of happened and took over and I couldn't redo anything about it. I feel like now I understand my body a bit more again. Yeah, I mean, I know I need to avoid these things to keep it happy and healthy. I think that's the main confidence I've gained. It's like I understand my body more now. I yeah. understand what it needs. I understand more what it needs to stay healthy for me. And the fact that I just feel I understand it a bit more.
So if we took the medical situation out of yeah. it and say you'd managed to lose yeah. weight by diet and
yeah.
exercise and restricting and whatever, like the way normal,
yeah.
I won't say normal people, but the way most yeah. people would diet. We know that yours has been aided yeah. by medications and things.
Yeah.
If you were now in a position, excluding all that,
yeah.
that you were to gain weight again,
yeah.
do you think you would still manage to maintain the same confidence that you've started to get now? Or do you think you would go back to that kind of, I look awful? And I know that's a really hard question, has it helped you kind of maintain a more positive outlook in general on your body?
Knowing me, I'd flip-flop. Some days I'd feel ready to take on the world, and other days I'd be like, nah, can't do this today. Because I'm very much like that. My confidence definitely dips up and down. And yeah. it's not always based on weight. I've had times where I've been a lot bigger and I've felt fierce. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm ready to sort of take on anything. So I think if I gained it again, I think sometimes yes and sometimes no. I think, which is a really awful answer.
I hate that answer to everything. I hate it. But yeah, go on.
I would say in some ways, yeah, I feel still confident in myself because I know I'm way more than what I look like. But I can't help the fact that, like everybody else, I get certain vain thoughts thinking, you know what I mean? Why yeah. can't I look a bit better?
I think you'd be all right. I think you'd start to understand things a bit more. Well, I will congratulate you on your weight loss. You do look absolutely amazing. And if you don't take it the wrong way, you actually look a lot healthier in your facial colour.
I feel a lot better. You're starting
to look like... Mm. There was times when I've come up to see you and you've looked really pale and drawn.
And I was, though. That's the...
There's certainly a lot more colour in your face, and you're certainly a lot more lively than you were. So I totally get that. So, you know, well done. Yeah. I'm glad that you're getting to the end of hopefully sorting out what's wrong.
Fingers crossed.
But yeah, well, if there was any advice or anything for somebody who's maybe going through a similar thing or has maybe through the pandemic managed to do a lot more exercise and lose weight or taken up running or something, or has gone the other way, a little bit like me, who's probably gained weight, is there any advice that you give to those people in getting that confidence in themselves again?
I'd probably say three separate bits of advice. Medically, always listen to your body. Even if the experts are telling you nothing's wrong, if you feel something is wrong, there probably is. I'd say from a confidence point of view, even if you're hating yourself entirely, look in the mirror and find one thing about yourself that you like. If you can find one thing about yourself that you like, you can find more. And make sure it's something you like about yourself, not something that you're told is good about you. Because though we all look for comfort and validation in other people, you won't get anywhere unless you can validate yourself.
Yeah.
And I'd say finally, for people that are gaining weight, at the end of the day, we're never going to stay the same weight all our lives. It waves up and down. As long as you feel happy or comfortable with what you're doing, I'd say that's fine. But if you're starting to get an unhealthy relationship with food, and having been there myself, you know, in the back of your mind when things are getting unhealthy, talk to someone about it. Doesn't even have to be anybody scary. Talk to your friends about it, because most people at some point have had issues with that, and everybody relates to it. So I'd say, as long as you're not having an unhealthy relationship with food, I wouldn't worry about a few extra pounds.
And I agree with that. I mean, I know that I've gained weight through lockdown, and I gained weight, I've lost weight, I've lost... I think in my lifetime of losing weight, I've probably lost about 14 stone accumulatively over the course of three different periods in my life. And I think I'm more confident now, having finally gone, do you know what? This is what my body looks like. This is what it does. These are the bits that are going to stick out. These are the bits that, regardless of how much weight I want to lose or try to lose, will never change. I'm just going to accept it. And I think that is the point when you get that... acceptance. And I like what you're saying there about finding something good in what you look like. I like that idea.
But I'd say the most important thing is you're healthy.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, your skin is healthy, your hair's healthy. Yeah, I mean, it's not really...
Hips is a different matter.
We all get that. I'd say people always focus on, oh, fat is unhealthy. It's not always. Yeah, I mean, if you know your body is healthy and happy, nobody should tell you anything otherwise.
Do you remember the last time I went to the doctors?
You're healthier than I am.
I burnt my hand on a hot pan.
Yes, I remember that.
And my hand blew up. And that's probably the only time I've been to the doctors in probably 3 or 4 years.
And let me guess, like with most visits to the doctor, was it your weight's fault you burnt your hand?
No, but it was the fact that the other half distracted me in the kitchen. And on that note, we will leave it there. Anyway, thank you ever so much for joining me on this podcast. I hope that we can do another one very soon. And as always, to my listeners, thank you very much for listening. I'm going to sign off. And remember, no matter what you do in life, just do you. You've been listening to Raven's Ramblings, hosted by Morgan Raven.